can a Scotland Yard detective solve a murder committed over 400 years ago? Find out now in part one of The Daughter of Time.
Is thy name Tyrell?
James Tyrell, and your most obedient subject.
Art thou, indeed?
Prove me, my gracious lord.
Darest thou resolve to kill a friend of mine?
Please you, but I had rather kill two enemies.
Why, then thou hast it. Two deep enemies. Foes to my rest and my sweet sleep's disturbers are they that I would have thee deal upon. Tyrell, I mean those bastards in the tower.
Let me have open means to come to them, and soon I'll rid you from the fear of them.
Oh, thou singst sweet music. Hark, come hither, Tyrell. Go by this token. Rise and lend thine ear. There is no more but so. Say, it is done, and I will love thee and prefer thee for it.
I will dispatch it straight.
Truth is the daughter of time.
We present The Daughter of Time, the novel by Josephine Tay, dramatized by Neville Teller, starring Peter Gilmore as Alan Grant, with Simon Hewitt as Brent Carradine, Francis Jeter as Nurse Ingham, Rosalind Shanks as Marta Hallard, and Jill Lidston as Nurse Darrell.
Why don't you read, then? Just look at that pile of books.
Have you ever tried reading in a hospital bed, Midget?
Nurse Ingham. No, I know what you mean.
You can't settle to it. Anyway, it's damned awkward lying flat on your back, especially with your leg in traction. Do you know, I've examined that ceiling so long I know by heart. Oh, I could draw every crack. I've explored them. See, and you're up here.
Where? Oh, yes.
Oh, and there, over the washstand. Now, how's that for a broken heart? Midget, I hate the sight of that ceiling. For heaven's sake, turn my bed round a bit so that at least I've got a new patch to look at.
Certainly not. Whatever would matron say?
You mean disturbing the nice symmetry. It's a pity you lot don't remember that hospitals are made for people, not the other way round.
Now, now, Inspector Grant, you sound decidedly constipated to me. Let's have a look at this chart of yours.
Oh, go away, Midget.
Nurse Ingham.
Perhaps I'll take your advice after all and read.
Are you asleep?
Is that you, Marta?
Did I wake you?
Oh, I wasn't sleeping. Just had my eyes closed. Protecting myself against being disturbed.
Oh, shall I go away?
Oh, no, darling, not you. You're always welcome. You're my contact with the outside world. Oh, I say, how very chic you're looking.
Thanks, I'm glad you like it. I brought you some lilac.
Gorgeous. Come here.
My poor Alan. Oh, and here's a couple of books. Coles to Newcastle, I'd say. Hope these are more interesting than you seem to have found that lot.
Oh, I can't read anything.
Why not? Oh, Alan, darling, are you in pain?
Agony. Oh. But it's not my leg, nor my back.
What then?
Boredom, my love, boredom. I'm prickly with it. It's like being beaten with nettles.
What about the television? Oh, silly me.
They won't sling it from the ceiling, you know.
Well, that radio cassette of yours.
I do listen from time to time, but I can't seem to concentrate for very long.
What about taking something up? Yoga. That induces acceptance.
I did think of going back to algebra. But I've done so much geometry on that damn ceiling that I'm a little off math.
Why don't you do some academic investigating? Solve an unsolved problem.
Crime, you mean? Sort of a busman's holiday, isn't it? I know all the current case histories by heart. Well, not a thing I can do about them lying flat on my back. Mind you, my sergeant does pop in from time to time.
I didn't mean something out of your files at the yard. I meant something more, what's the word, classic. Something that's puzzled the world for ages.
Oh, as what, for instance?
Oh, I don't know. Say the casket letters.
Oh, not Mary, Queen of Scots.
Why not?
Well, I know she's beloved by all you actresses, but I could never be interested in such a silly woman.
Silly? Alan, how could you? She was a martyr.
Yeah. The only thing she was martyred to was rheumatism. She married Darnley without the Pope's dispensation, and she married Bothwell by Protestant rites.
How do you know so much about her?
I did her as a special subject at university.
Oh, and didn't like her, I take it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no casket letters. What else? The man in the iron mask.
Well, I can't remember who that was. Any case, I couldn't be interested in anyone who was being coy behind some tin plate. I couldn't be interested in anyone at all unless I can see his face.
Ah, yes, I forgot your passion for faces. I'll have to see what I can do about that.
Oh. Marta. Oh, he gave me quite a turn. How long have you been standing there?
Oh, a good 3 minutes. It seemed a pity to interrupt. Your big toe was wiggling up and down in time to the music.
And what do you mean, appropriate? Oh, I see.
Like it. The hat's Cossack, and so are the boots, they tell me.
You look a dream.
Glad you think so. There, my love, I hope that does something for you.
Oh, if you only knew.
I'm not here to stay, Alan. I'm on my way to the theatre. It's matinee day.
Oh, good heavens, so it is. I've quite lost count. Oh, sit down a minute.
Oh, well, let me give you what I came to deliver. It's all in this envelope. There.
Hold on, hold on. What's all this?
Faces. Dozens and dozens of faces for you. Men, women, children, all sorts and conditions and sizes. And all carefully chosen because they're connected with some mystery or other. They ought to keep you amused.
Oh, you're a darling. Thank you very much. Where on earth did you get them all?
I routed James out of his cubbyhole at the V&A and made him take me to a print shop.
Poor, long-suffering James. Who's this?
Lucretia Borgia. Isn't she a duck?
Yes, yeah, she certainly is. Ah, here's a nice Elizabethan gent. Ha-ha, the Earl of Leicester. Elizabeth's Robin. I don't think I've ever seen his face before.
Darling, I must fly. I'm late as it is. Incidentally, how are you?
Well, it's out getting better. I don't see it myself.
Bye.
And what's the mystery about Master Robin here?
Amy Robsart. Did she fall or was she pushed? See you.
Oh,
hello, nurse.
Miss Allard.
Bye.
What a mess. What are all these pictures?
They're faces, each one with some odd story.
Open. Your pulse is going a fair lick this afternoon. Effect of Miss Allard, no doubt. Oh, this one's pretty. The Grand Duchess Anastasia. Oh, she's very young. Now, let's have that. Temperature's normal anyway. How's the back? Are you comfortable?
Not too bad. When's this leg coming down?
Not long now. Mr. McFarlane's coming to see you later on. He may be able to say. Do you like faces?
Well, they've been a passion of mine since I was little. You can tell an awful lot from someone's face, you know. When you know what you're looking for. Now, of course, they're my stock in trade. Yes, Midget, I've made quite a speciality of them.
Oh, so have I, in my own way. A nurse sees an awful lot of them, you know.
I suppose.
But you don't believe there's such a thing as a criminal face, do you?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Crimes are as varied as human nature. No policeman would dare try to pick up the naughty boys on looks alone.
That's what I think. But there are things that sharpen a face, you know.
No, such as?
Oh, suffering. Endure pain long enough, physical or mental. And it leaves its mark, believe me.
You're right, of course.
Look at that picture and you'll see what I mean. No, no, no. That one over there.
This one?
Hmm.
Oh, yes. Now, there's a face for you. Just look at those eyes. What exactly was the artist trying to capture, I wonder? Worry? Preoccupation? It's a curious expression. Could I guess who it is? Let's see. About 35. Lean, clean-shaven. Around the 15th century, I'd say. Obviously a nobleman of some sort. He's dressed in velvet cap and slashed doublet. Judge? No. Soldier? Don't think so. A prince? Possible. Anyway, someone used to great responsibility. Say a candidate for an ulcer. And I see what you mean about suffering. It looks like someone who was chronically ill as a child. He's got that special look that childhood suffering leaves behind. A gentle, conscientious, high-principled man. Nope. I'm stumped. Good heavens. Richard III from the portrait in the National Portrait Gallery, artist unknown. Richard III? Richard Crouchbank? The monster of the nursery stories? The synonym for villainy? Do you think that's what the artist's trying to capture in those eyes? A haunted look? What do you say, Midget? Midget, are you there? Must have slipped out. Richard III. This makes the Mona Lisa look like a picture postcard. What a face. Now he's not peering into the middle distance. It's a withdrawn expression. Almost absent-minded.
Still looking at that picture? Oh, it's really got at you, hasn't it? Take these.
No, it's not knockout time already, is it?
It certainly is. I'm just going off duty. Nurse Darrell's right behind me with your supper. You up? Swallow.
Thanks, Midget.
Supper day!
Poor Nurse Darrell, by all that's wonderful, I have missed you.
Oh, get along with you, Inspector Grant. You haven't given me a moment's thought all day.
He hasn't had time. He's been mooning over that picture for hours.
Ooh, who was it? That actress friend of yours, eh? There you are. Now, eat up.
No, Darrell. Someone who's been dead for hundreds of years.
Ooh, morbid.
Not at all. Just intriguing. You don't happen to have a history book, either of you, do you?
A history book? What would I be doing with a history book?
Well, it so happens I've got one at least. Might even have two. Keep all my school books on a shelf in my room. Of course, I loved history. It was my favourite subject. Richard the Lionheart. No, he was my hero.
Oh, Bounder.
Oh, no.
Rocketing here and there like a badly made firework. Are you going off duty too now?
Whenever I finish my trays.
Oh, well, you couldn't find me that book, could you?
Now, you're supposed to be going to sleep, not staying awake over history books.
Well, I might as well read some history. Look at that ceiling. Would you get it for me?
Well...
Oh, I'll start on the trays. You go and get the book.
I'm not sure I want to go all the way up to the nurse's block and back for someone who's rude about the Lionheart. But as a special favour...
Come in. Oh, Darrell, have you got it?
I was hoping you'd be asleep. I don't really think you should start on these tonight. There's two here, by the way. Now, Why don't you let those sleeping tablets do their stuff?
Oh, if anything's likely to put me to sleep, it's an English history book. Oh, where are you off to?
The pictures.
Well, you can hold hands with a clear conscience.
Oh, I'm going with Nurse Burrows.
You can still hold hands.
I've no patience with you. Good night.
Good night. Oh, and thanks. Now then. A school history of England. Very nice, too. I might have guessed.
Eller Darrow. Form 5A, Newbridge High School, Newbridge, Gloucestershire, England, Europe, the world, the universe.
Well, that places Ella Darrow. Now, what does the school history do for Richard, I wonder? Let's see.
Richard was a man of great ability, but quite unscrupulous as to his means. He boldly claimed the crown on the absurd ground that his brother's marriage with Elizabeth Woodville had been illegal, and the children of it illegitimate. He was accepted by the people, who dreaded a minority, and began his reign by making a progress through the south, where he was well received. During this progress, however, the two young princes, who were living in the tower, disappeared, and were believed to have been murdered. A serious rebellion followed, which Richard put down with great ferocity. A second rebellion followed in the form of an invasion with French troops by the head of the Lancaster branch, Henry Tudor. He encountered Richard at Bosworth, where the treachery of the Stanleys gave the day to Henry. Richard was killed in the battle, fighting courageously, leaving behind him a name hardly less infamous than that of John.
A name hardly less infamous than that of John.
A name hardly less infamous than that.
A name hardly less infamous than that. A name hardly less infamous than that.
A name hardly less infamous than that.
A name hardly less infamous.
Good morning. What sort of a night?
Oh, hello, Darrow.
Oh, I slept very well, thanks to your school history book.
Well, convinced?
Convinced. What about?
Nobility of Richard Coeur de Lion, of course. Right, pull up your pyjama sleeve.
I haven't got round to Richard I yet. But while you're performing your ministrations, tell me, what do you know about Richard III?
I'm not performing ministrations. I am taking your blood pressure. Oh, but those poor lambs.
Who?
Those two precious little boys. Used to be my nightmare when I was a kiddie, that someone would come and put a pillow over my face when I was asleep.
Here, watch it. My fingers are going blue.
Get away with you. Ah, there's nothing much wrong with you.
I'm lying here, fractured in heaven knows how many places, with my leg slung up on high like an unwanted parcel, and you say there's nothing wrong with me?
Oh, you know what I mean.
Is that how it was done? The murder?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Didn't you know? Come on, open up. Sir James Tyrrell rode back to London when the court was at Warwick, quickly recruited two thugs called Dighton and Forrest, and they made their way to the tower, all three of them.
Open! Open in the king's name! Hurry, man!
Sir?
Sir James Tyrrell on the king's business. Where is the constable?
Well,
Speak up, man. Is Sir Robert within or not?
Oh, yes, sir. He's in his lodgings. But I can't let you pass through. My orders, you
Damn
see.
Your orders. Do you know the royal signature and seal when you see them?
I'm not sure, sir.
Here, see. This is His Majesty's warrant, signed by the king himself, Ricardus.
Oh.
Well, can't you read, ma'am?
No, sir.
The royal seal, you can recognize that. Devil seize the man. Will you take us to Sir Robert?
Oh, yes, sir, I'll do that. Come through.
Come, Dighton. Forrest, follow me.
Make haste, man. This is urgent.
You two, wait outside while I'm with the constable. I'll pass you the keys. You'll know where to go and what to do.
Yes, Sir James. We know.
Leave it to us, Sir James.
These gentlemen...
Stand aside. Ooh. Sir James Tyrrell, with orders from His Majesty for the constable. Take me to him. You two, wait. Sir Robert Brackenbury.
I am, sir, and you?
Sir James Tyrrell. His Majesty has charged me personally with secret orders intended for your eyes only. Here, sir.
But I don't quite understand, Sir James. Mm-hmm. I'm commanded to pass over to you the keys of the cell housing the two young princes. Yet there is no order to release the prisoners to your charge. Oh, this is quite irregular.
But absolutely clear, Sir Robert. You aren't questioning the authenticity of the orders, I presume?
No, no, it's His Majesty's hand and the royal seal.
Then perhaps you'll comply, and with speed. This is a matter of high politics.
Of course. At once, come with me.
Of course. Tyrrell had told Dighton and Forrest to kill them. And then they buried them at the foot of some stairs, under a great mound of stones. Come on now. Normal.
Oh, sorry to disappoint you. But it doesn't say all this in the book you lent me.
Oh, that book's just history for exams, if you know what I mean. You don't get really interesting history in SWAT books like that.
And where did you get this fancy gossip about Tyrrell, may one ask?
It isn't gossip. You'll find it in Sir Thomas More's history at the time. And you can't find a more respected or trustworthy person in the whole of history than Sir Thomas More, no, can you?
No. That'd be bad manners to contradict the man for all seasons.
Well, that's what Sir Thomas says. And after all, he was alive then, and he knew all those people to talk to.
Mm. In that case, would you hold on while I scribble a note?
We can't wait long.
It's only a word to Miss Hallard. I'm asking her to get hold of a copy of Sir Thomas More's history. All right, that's it. My stamps are somewhere about. Oh, there. Be an angel and drop it in the postbox.
The things I do for you.
Changed your ideas, I see.
Hello, Midget. What about?
Nurse Ingham, please. About reading. A few days ago, you couldn't bear to open a book. Now look at you.
Ah, but there are books and books. Now, take this.
Oh, I wouldn't take it for a gift. Whew, it weighs a ton to start with, and it looks as dry as dust.
Well, you're not so far out there. It's what they call a constitutional history of England. History with all the personality bleached out. Strong on fact, very weak on interest.
I suppose you're still chasing Richard III?
Chasing, no. After this little lot, I don't think I'll ever chase anything again.
Oh.
But investigating, well, maybe. And I found something quite interesting. Just a snippet. Have you ever heard of the Pastons?
You mean the ones who wrote the letters?
You have. All those family letters of the 15th century with scraps of history sandwiched in between orders for salad oil and inquiries about how Clement was doing at Cambridge. Well, look here. Here. See that? That's just one sentence out of the middle of a letter, but it's a snapshot of an entire little world. Look, it just says that the little York boys, George and Richard, are living in the Pastons' London lodgings.
The little York boys?
Well, young Richard is your villain-to-be, and George is his elder brother, the Duke of Clarence.
Oh, the one who was drowned in a butt of Malmsey.
Come along, your royal highnesses. Don't play me up now. I'm too old and crabbed to keep up with you.
Well, how old are you then, nurse?
As old as my hair, though not as old as my teeth.
We know.
Why don't you ever tell us, nurse?
Oh, Master Richard, I'm ashamed of you. Don't you know better than to ask a lady's age? And you a prince of the royal blood. Now, just come over here, the both of you. Let me tidy your hair.
Oh.
You first, Master Richard. There we are. Now, keep still.
No.
Won't take a minute and it won't hurt you.
Yes.
Come on, now you, Master George. Now, that's it. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. You've got to look nice, haven't you? That's better. There. Now you both look nice for your brother. Oh, your ladyship.
Are they ready, nurse?
Just about, Lady Paston.
Come, stand by me, your royal highness. His majesty should be here directly.
Isn't it extraordinary, your ladyship? Every day, come rain, come shine.
And here he is. Your majesty.
Edward!
Hello, boys.
Have you brought me anything?
No, Richard, nothing today.
Oh!
Don't look so glum. I was only joking. Here's some sweetmeats. Catch!
Oh, thank you!
And for you, George.
Thank you. You spoiled them, your majesty.
You're only young once, your ladyship. They haven't had all that much joy. And if it weren't for your kindness to them and to me, they'd be greatly missing the comforts of a loving home at the moment.
Oh, but they adore you, your majesty. Your visits are the high point of each day. How you can manage to put aside affairs of state to visit two little boys every day without fail, no one could believe.
Ah, but it's the high point of my day too, my lady. You see, we're a very close and a very loving family, and I'm sure we always shall be.
Hello?
Alan, it's me.
Oh, Marta.
No, don't answer. I'm frantic. Curtain's up. I'm on my way to the wings. Due on stage in 4 minutes. I just phoned to say I got your letter, scouted round the shops, couldn't find a Satimor, had a brainwave, went to the public library and got a copy. I'm sending it round with my dresser. You get 14 days. Sounds more like a sentence than a loan.
You're an angel. Thanks so much.
Nonsense. Must fly. Bye.
Shepherd's pie, as ordered.
Oh, thanks.
Here. I'll take the book. There. You comfy?
Very.
Oh, Sir Thomas More, eh? So you've taken my advice and gone to the expert.
I always do what you tell me, Nurse Darrell. Haven't you noticed?
That'll be the day. But it's all here, Inspector. First-hand evidence from an impeccable witness. Just what ought to appeal to a policeman.
That's just what's bothering me.
Bothering you? How do you mean?
Come on. Everything he says about Richard seems so unexpected, out of character. It's just not how I expect Sir Thomas More to write.
Well, what can you mean?
Well, for example, somewhere he gives a long account of how, after the murders, the king lay awake at nights tossing and turning because of his guilty conscience. Mm-hmm. Then he adds that he has this from, what was his exact phrase? Such as were secret with his chamberers.
Well, what's wrong with that? He's giving the evidence of first-hand witnesses.
Oh, it all smells of backstairs gossip and servants spying. I haven't got the ring of truth.
Mm. It's very dramatic. Listen to this. He was never quiet in his mind, never thought himself secure. His eyes whirled about, his body was privily fenced, his hand ever on his dagger, his countenance and manner like one always ready to strike again.
I like that again. No, Darrell, that's not the style you expect from a Lord Chancellor, revered for his integrity for 4 centuries.
Well, it's a bit highly coloured, perhaps.
A bit. Somewhere back there is Satie's account of the moment Richard casts aside all pretense and makes his bid for the throne. Now, according to the sainted Thomas, Lord Hastings had been inconveniently pressing for a date for young Edward's coronation. So, Richard suddenly, in a fit of rage, condemns Hastings to death for treason. According to him, they whisked poor Hastings down to the courtyard and chopped off his head on a handy log of wood. 1, 2, 3. Just like that.
Well, certainly sounds like the Richard we all know and love.
Oh, the man's infamy knew no bounds, if you go by Sir Thomas. Seems Richard arranged for a tame clergyman to preach a sermon on the text, "Bastard slips shall take no root." The aim being to spread the word that Richard's two older brothers, Edward and George, were illegitimate.
You mean he had his own mother publicly proclaimed a loose woman? Oh, the wickedness of it.
Scarcely believable, is it? And yet Sir Thomas More said so, and he should know.
What does he say about the princes in the tower?
Oh, the generally accepted version, and with plenty of detail. And who was better qualified than Sir Thomas, Lord Chancellor of England, to weigh evidence and present facts? But, Darrell, it smells fishy. And believe me, I have a nose for that sort of thing. There's something very wrong somewhere, and I'm going to find out what it is.
Peter Gilmore starred as Alan Grant in The Daughter of Time. Simon Hewitt was Brent Carradine, Frances Jeter, Nurse Ingham, Rosalind Shanks, Martha Hallard, and Jill Lidston was Nurse Darrell. Richard III was played by Steve Hodson, Sir James Tyrrell, Nigel Lambert, Sir Robert Brackenbury, Lewis Stringer, Lady Paston, Miranda Forbes, Edward IV, Graham Faulkner, Matron, Catherine Parr, Sergeant Williams, Stuart Organ, Archbishop Morton, Peter Tuddenham, Lord Buckingham, Alex Jennings, Bishop Stillington, James Thomason, and Sir John Howard was Alaric Cotter. Josephine Tay's novel was dramatized by Neville Teller and directed by Graham Gould.